This morning, I'm excited that we get to continue our series, Being Human, and we're talking about what it means to be real people of purpose. And as I was thinking of this, I was reminded of a time back in my childhood when I was around, I want to say I was 9, and I have an older brother, my brother Lance. He's 10 years old. There's 4 of us kids. And Lance and I one day decided after dinner during the summer, we were going to go out on a scooter ride because that was the thing in the day. And the scooters like that you actually have to push, not the ones that kids like just ride and are doing all the work for them. We actually had to work and exercise for it. And our family, there's 4 of us kids. We only had 2 scooters. So Lance and I were up. It was our turn. And so it was the time where our mom was like, okay, just tell me where you're going. We didn't have cell phones. Like cell phones were a thing, but they weren't like the thing where everybody has one. You know what I'm talking about? Are you with me this morning? Are you awake this morning? Come on, church. Come on. Man, you guys aren't ready for today if you're not awake. But we were out riding our scooters, and our mom is like, okay, just tell me where you're going. And we used to live by a middle school, and so we're like, oh, we're going to go over to the school, and then there's a little path that leads to a playground, and we're going to head over that way, we told her. And so she's like, okay, just be home before the streetlights turned on, because it was a time where we could do that kind of thing, where now kids don't get to do that. And I feel so bad for them. Man, that's sad. But anyway, we were out and we were riding our scooters and we went down the path and we were at the park, and then all of a sudden it hit us. We were like, wait, we can keep going on our little scooter ride because that was cool. And we can like extend our time out. Like the streetlights aren't on yet. Like, let's just go and have fun. Let's explore a little bit. And so we did. We went a different way and we went through a neighborhood, and we knew kind of where it was and where we were going, and we ended up in this neighborhood, and then we were like, oh no, now where do we go? We were completely lost. And so we just kept scooting around. You know, yeah, come on, guys, be with, yeah. Oh. Whew, I had coffee. I don't know about you, but we were scooting and scooting, and like your leg gets tired and then you have to do the awkward switch and then scoot and scoot. And we just kept going and going, and we're looking around and we're like, where are we? Like, we finally hit that point and it's starting to get a little darker. The streetlights are coming on, and I'm like, I'm blaming you because you're my older brother. You're supposed to know where we're at. And like I said that straight out to him, and he's a lot bigger than I am. Like, if my brother Lance, like he's competed in strongman competitions, he's a big dude. And so he looked at me and he goes, you're not blaming me. And I was like, okay, hey, I got it. Anyway, we're scooting and we're lost, and we finally get to this place where we're like, I think we know where we're at. And we made a turn, and all of a sudden it became clear. We're like, oh, we can get home because we found the 7-Eleven that was near our house. And so we made our way back. We finally got home, and our mom was like, oh, hey, you're back. Like, didn't even realize we were gone for as long as we were. See, the thing is, when we were wandering around, we had no clear sense of direction. It felt like sometimes we were making progress, but we never really were sure until we got to that point where it clicked. Sometimes we felt really aimless in our direction. We'd make a turn and hit a cul-de-sac and be like, oh man, we're lost, and have to go back. You know, I know that this is sometimes how we can feel in life when we don't know our purpose. We can feel like we're just scooting around with no idea where we're going. No idea what's next. No idea where to turn. And we have no idea what's even expected of us. And we can feel honestly pretty desperate at times when we're lost. And we can begin to seek out alternate things. We can take turns and we end up down a wrong path. And then we end up feeling really tired. We feel hopeless. And then we feel completely lost. You know what I love about Jesus? One of the things I love about Jesus is that he helps us to know our purpose. He makes it pretty clear for us, actually. He says, here's your purpose, go and make disciples. And he says, and it comes out of your love for me. I could wrap up right there. Like, that's the message today. Our purpose is the very reason that we're created. Our purpose is the reason why we exist. It speaks to every motive behind every action that we do. It's so important for us to know because it should have an effect on every decision we make, our purpose. It points us in the right direction. It helps us navigate life. And it helps us not to feel lost anymore. Your purpose allows you not to feel lost, but to feel like I know where I'm going, and I know that He's with me. See, we're all made for something more. We're all made for something exciting, more than just existing. We're made to do something. And what's so cool about our purpose is that each one of us, it looks just a little different, but we all have the same big universal purpose, which is to point others to Jesus. And we all share this collectively. And then God also, through that, gives us an individual purpose. And we don't have enough time to dive into all of that today because I want to get you out of here before noon with all the baptisms. Don't worry, we're not going to go that long anyway. But today, I want us to just look at that universal purpose of going and making disciples. Because that is why we exist here in this church. That's why our purpose at Grace Point is to be real people with real hope who experience... Wow, I totally botched that. Let me restart. Woo! The reason Grace Point exists is to share the real hope of Jesus Christ with real people in our real community. That's why we are here today. And so today, if you have scripture, in John 21 is where we're going to be looking. And this is where Jesus is with his disciples. And this is a really fascinating story because it comes after Jesus died and he was resurrected and he appears to his disciples. And this is actually like the third time that he's appeared to them. And so the disciples are out fishing on a boat because many of them were fishermen. And Jesus is there on the shore, and what happens is they don't recognize Jesus. And so they're out fishing, they don't recognize Jesus, and they fished all night long, and they didn't catch anything. And this man from the shore all of a sudden yells to them and says, well, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you're going to catch something. And so they do. They throw their net on the right side of the boat and they get a huge catch. And it was so big that it didn't fit in the nets, but their nets weren't breaking. Like they caught this enormous amount of fish. And all of a sudden it clicked because this had happened to them before. This is the same story of when Jesus called them to be his disciples. He did the same thing. He said, throw your net on the other side and you're going to catch some fish. And they did. And so this happens again, and they're trying to bring in the nets, and all of a sudden this man named Simon Peter, one of the disciples, realizes that's Jesus. And you know what he does? He dives out of the boat, and he goes and swims to shore. And he leaves the others to do all the work to bring in the catch. And then what's really interesting is they sit down, and they have breakfast. They just sit and eat some fish for breakfast. That's not my choice for breakfast. I don't know about you, but they have fish. And then in John 21, 15 to 17, it says these words. It says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know that I love you. Then feed my lambs. Jesus told him that. And then Jesus repeated the question in verse 16. It says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus told him. And then a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Jesus asked him again. And scripture tells us that Peter was hurt. Jesus asked him for a third time. And so he says, Lord, you know that. You know everything, and you know that I love you. Jesus says, then feed my sheep. See, what I want us to understand is that our purpose comes from our love of God. It doesn't come out of anywhere else but our love of God. And the question that Jesus is asking here to Peter is really powerful. He asked him, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And this could be implied in a couple of ways. It could mean that, do you love me more than you love them, these other disciples? Do you love me more than you love your friends, the guys that you've been living with for the last 3 years? Or it could mean, is your amount of love greater than their amount of love? It never really tells us what Jesus is asking. But either way, what matters is the question, do you love me? This happens, if you remember, after Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And it wasn't that long ago. And so Jesus is asking Peter, at the very core of who you are, in your heart, do you love me more than you love anything else, Peter? And did you notice how Peter's not a perfect human? You know, he did just deny Jesus. He's not perfect. And I think this story speaks to how we do not have to be perfect in order for God to use us. Somebody can say amen there. God can use us even when we feel broken. He can use us even in the middle of our brokenness, because he can make all things good. And this question that Jesus is asking to Peter here, I believe it's something you and I are meant to ask ourselves. We're meant to ask this question to ourselves each and every day. Do we love Jesus? Do we love him more than we love a paycheck? Do we love him more than we love success? Do we love him more than our spouse even, more than our children? Do we love him more than how we value how others view us? You know what's funny is as I was preparing for this, as I'm writing this, I felt a check from the Holy Spirit. And this happens because when I speak, a lot of times I'm speaking not only to you, but like to myself. And as I was preparing for this, I heard Holy Spirit say to me, Joel, I know you love preaching. Do you love me more than you love preaching? Whew, that hurt. Do you love me? It's what Jesus asked us. And we know that Jesus asked this question 3 times to Peter. And I think that's really intentional. I think that Jesus isn't just asking to hear the answer 3 times. I think Jesus is saying, beyond the surface, do you love me? As you keep reflecting, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Is it true? He wants to hear what is really going on in Peter's heart. The Lord's question here actually reveals to us what's really going on inside of our hearts. It's like the time when you ask somebody, hey, how are you? And typically everybody replies with good, right? Like we know this. And you sit down with somebody like, hey, how are you? And they're like, oh, I'm good. And then you just have this like feeling where it's like, but really, how are you? And then they start to share a little bit. And then you ask one more time, and it's like, but really, how are you? And all of a sudden, all the truth is revealed. And I believe that's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, no, but like, at the core of who you are, beyond the surface, beyond what you think I want to hear, do you actually love me, Peter? And the reason why this matters so much is because out of this love directly flows the purpose for Peter. Jesus asks, do you love me? And then he says, yes, you know I love you. And then Jesus gives him the directive, then feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And then Jesus says, if that's so, then take care of my sheep. It's only out of the love that we have can we then know our purpose. And we just talked about this last week. We're meant to stay connected to the vine, to Jesus, the one who is the vine, the true vine, who gives us everything that we need. And that is even true for our purpose. We're meant to stay connected. If you missed that message, you can go online and check it out there. We are meant to love God with all that we have. We're meant to love Jesus above all else. Why? Because Jesus said this is the greatest commandment, to love with everything you have and to love the Lord your God. It's only out of our love do we get our purpose. It all starts there. Because God's the one who gives it to us. But what happens is once we start to realize, okay, my purpose is to go and make disciples, like I do love Jesus, something happens to us, and it's this like little guy that maybe like a good illustration is sits on your shoulder, and he points at you and he says, yeah, but what about them? You know, like there's this little enemy that sometimes likes to poke at us, right? And all the enemy wants to do is steer the ship away from the purpose, and he wants us to compare. He wants us to compare with one another. And we know that in this passage, as we continue to read in John 21, we see that comparison is only a distraction. Comparison only distracts us from what is meant to fulfill us and what is meant to give us life. See, when we compare our relationship with God and those around us, all we do is miss the point. And I would say that when this happens, when we begin to compare, we would probably start to hear that question again of, do you love me more than you love comparing your relationship to others? And so this is actually what happens. In John 21, verse 20 to 22, it tells us these words. Peter turned around and he saw behind him the disciple that Jesus loved, that's John, the one who'd leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? And so Peter asked Jesus, he says, what about him? What about the one who's following us? And Jesus replies to him, if I want John to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You ready for this? As for you, follow me. As for you, follow me. Don't be distracted. Jesus is saying, don't get caught looking around. Worry about yourself. Worry about your relationship with me and me alone. Jesus is telling Peter here, stay focused on what matters most. And that's following me. Stay focused on loving Jesus, obeying the commandments that Jesus has given to Peter, to feed his sheep, to take care of those around him, to love them as he, Jesus, has loved them. See, don't allow comparison to get in the way of what God is doing in and through you. Because God is working differently in your life than he is to even the person sitting next to you today. God's working on me something different than he's working on you. And when we start to look around us, when we start to compare, we lose focus on what really matters, which is the mission, our purpose, to go and make disciples. God has made us all differently and uniquely, and we can't forget that. And so our relationship, my relationship with him, is going to look very different than your relationship with him, and that's okay. But Jesus says, follow me. Don't get distracted. Follow me. Because we can't lose sight of what matters the most. And it's that our purpose is to point others to Jesus. That's what matters. That's what we're meant to do, is to point everyone to Jesus. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. This is a verse, collection of verses that I often go to when I need some inspiration, because there's so many good little things in here that we can miss. But this is what it says. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, Jesus had died, he'd been resurrected again, and he's appearing to his disciples. And this is his words. He says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all the power. He says, I have all control. I have all power right here on heaven and on earth. I have it all. Ready for this? And he says, this is what you're to do. I have all the power, and I'm telling you now, go.
He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this. He says, I'm with you to the end of the age. Jesus, in his very final moment on earth, he says, all the power is mine, and I'm giving you a mission. Go and make disciples. And this isn't limited to those who just work at a church like Pastor Glenn and myself. But all of us are meant to do this. We're all meant to go and make disciples and teach them to obey the commands that Jesus has given to us. And if you're wondering, well, what are those commands? Love God and love others. It's pretty simple. And what's so powerful is that Jesus attached a promise to this. He says, I'm with you to the end of the age. When you do this, I'm with you to the end of the age. This is what we're meant to do each and every single day of our lives. And I know it's easy for you, like it's in your job title, it's in your job description. It says all of these words, go and make disciples, be a shepherd, take care of people, teach them, equip. Yes, that's true, but it's also in yours when you say, I'm a follower of Jesus. For me, yeah, I get to speak very publicly of him. And for you, it just looks different. I know some of you are in education. And the way that you make disciples then is by modeling the way that Jesus lived for your students and for the other teachers and the other staff members. It means being gracious, being merciful, being patient, and sharing hope in a place where students can often feel hopeless. I know there's some of you that are in healthcare. Your nurses or doctors or practitioners, whatever it is. And what it means for you is that you get to do this by caring for your patients in a loving manner. It may even be praying over them as you're taking care of them. And you can also ask God for opportunities for you to share the gospel. How the unexplainable medically is now explainable because of the great physician. And for some of you that are in sales, it may mean that you show your clients what it means to be trustworthy, honest, and kind, what it means to go above and beyond and be fair, so that you can share about Jesus that makes you different than the other people around you. And all of our jobs, you can probably look at your job and say, oh, I can get what it means for me. All of us have skills and gifts, and they're a little different, but we're all meant to use them to point others to Jesus because that's what matters most. And the reason we do that, so that more and more and more people will come to know him. More and more people will experience his grace, his love, and they're going to find their purpose too. You know, today is a really exciting day because we do get to hear about lives that have been transformed by Jesus. We get to see how doing this, making disciples, leads to life transformation. And for those of you that are getting baptized, now is a great time to go and change. See, this is the reason to go and make disciples. It's the reason we exist. It's the very reason that we gather here on a Sunday morning. It's not just because we like each other, which I hope we do. It's not just because we like the music. It's not just because maybe the five of you like my preaching. But we exist so that others will come to know Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jim. That's why we exist. See, the moment that we lose sight of that, it's the moment that we've become very dangerous as a church. See, we want others to come and know Jesus. We want others to experience life transformation. We want others to have hope, to experience grace, to know the truth of his love, to know that, yes, he is kind, He's merciful. He's just and fair, and he's loving. He's generous. And he's so generous that he's made all of us with a purpose. A purpose so that we don't wander aimlessly in life. He's given us all the gift of saying, go. He says, go and make disciples. And he says this so we're not scooting around in life aimlessly. He says it so that we don't feel lost and hopeless. So that we don't make wrong turns and feel like, man, I have no idea where I'm at. But he gives it to us so that we can stay focused. And what I love is that promise that's attached to the Great Commission. The promise that says, I am with you always. And so maybe today you just needed that reminder. Maybe today you just needed to know that, man, God is with you always. Remember, Jesus just said, all authority on heaven and on earth is mine. And he says, my power is with you. Maybe you feel powerless this morning. Know that the one who has all the power is with you. You can surrender to him. And Jesus says, keep all your distractions at a minimum. Do all that you can to live out the Great Commission, to stay focused so that we don't lose sight of what matters the most. And so you may ask yourself today then, what am I supposed to do? I'm so glad you asked. We can start by maybe evaluating our heart by asking the question, do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus more than anything else? Is there something in the way of my love for him? Is there something distracting me? Because if there's something that's getting in the way, what's so awesome is we can ask God to help us remove it, and he will. Or maybe we can ask the question, am I being distracted by comparing to somebody else? See, we can turn to God, the one who has all power and authority, and we can say, would you help me stay focused? We can ask God to speak clearly. You know, just as we sang earlier, we can ask God to ignite in us that love that we need to stay focused. That drive that we need to have to stay on target with the mission. And then ask yourself the question, how am I actually making disciples? What am I actually doing to make disciples? How am I maybe parenting my children? Am I making them disciples of Jesus? Or my coworkers? Am I making them disciples of Jesus too? Am I being intentional with my relationship with those around me to point them to Jesus? These are just a few ways, a few questions we can ask that we can begin to evaluate what we're doing. See, I want to remind you that our purpose matters so much. It makes a huge difference. Because we're not meant to be aimless and wander around. We're meant to stay focused and make disciples. And I'm excited that we're going to hear in just a few moments stories of life transformation. But I would like to pray for us. And then we're going to hopefully have them back after they've changed. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you don't want us to just feel lost in this life, but you give us a mission for being, and you give us a purpose, which is to go and make disciples. And so, Lord, as this morning, as we move on our way, as we go out in different directions, God, would you help us to stay focused? And maybe this morning we need to have that time where we just check our heart and we say, do I love Jesus more than I love anything else? Or maybe this morning we need to just surrender to you all the distractions we feel. Or God, maybe this morning we need your help to really make disciples. Whatever it may be, Lord, would we surrender to you, the one who has all authority on heaven and on earth. And God, would you help us to go and make disciples? We ask all these things in Jesus' wonderful and powerful name. Amen.